Every Woman is a feminist show that highlights the struggles, triumphs, and accomplishments of women and girls and the men who support them. Every Woman includes a rich intersection of female voices that represent a wide range of ethnicities, social and economic status, as well as political and spiritual beliefs, with the purpose to enact social, political, environmental, and economic change. The views and opinions expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and the guests and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, KKFI staff, board, or management.
Good afternoon, KKFI listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Every Woman, coming to you live from Studio A here in the world headquarters of KKFI in snowy, blustery, and very cold Midtown Kansas City. I am your faithful board operator and co-host today, Rachel. Joining me via Zoom is my co-hosts, Fiona and Una. Hi there, Una. How are you? She there?
I'm doing well. Yes, I should be on.
There you are. Yes.
Good. Yes, things are always hit and miss with the technology challenges of working remotely, but it's for the greater good of staying safe, maintaining our social distancing, and in the 10th voice, making sure that KKFI not only shows every day how much we care for the community. That's you out there listening to us right now, both of you. But all of our staff, our volunteers, and everyone who contributes so much to the show, and especially our guests, which I'll go over to Fiona and let her introduce herself and talk about our guests today.
Hi there, Fiona.
So, hi, Rachel. I'm sitting right across from Una, and it's just as cold and snowy and blustery here in Overland Park. But I'm not going to waste too much time on a weather report when anyone can just look out of their window. I'm going to talk about our guests instead. So we have two great guests joining us today. We have Alice Kitchen, who is so involved in local activism and community outreach and justice, and has a huge depth of experience and knowledge in social work. And we also have Dr. Gail James, who has recently retired from the University of Kansas, but again has a huge depth in local activism and national activism, and is involved with the Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus, the Women's Foundation, and is a founding member of the Women's Intercultural Network. But they're both coming to us today to talk about their work with the Women's Equality Coalition and a particular initiative that they are working with and presenting to the Kansas City, Missouri city. And I think I'd like to ask first if Gail could talk to us about the background for that work and where that work comes from, please.
Thank you, Fiona. I'm so thrilled to be here. We've been here a number of times with the Women's Equality Coalition in your old days of Every Woman, and now these are the new days, so we're very happy to be here. Thank you for including us. I will take you back maybe 25 years to the Fourth World Conference on Women, when it became a worldwide saying that women's rights are human rights and human rights are women's rights. And it became a little bit more available for people to think in terms of what human rights are. And in the intervening years, that conference produced a document called the Beijing Platform for Action, which outlined 12 principles having to do with women and girls' lives, which include, of course, health, education, employment, empowerment, access to services, et cetera. And an important part of that is participation in their government. So out of that, many people in this country became interested in making that into a treaty. And so what has happened is that the United Nations took that up, and almost 200 nations have signed that treaty, which is called the Convention or the Agreement for the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. And that has been in place for a long time around the world, except the United States has not signed that yet for various reasons that we're familiar with. So what we've done since 2014 is a group of activists, local, national, and global activists, decided to put that in effect city by city, with the goal being that city governments, which are local and the locus of change, can make that happen, can make improvements in women and girls' lives. And so we say then now that human rights are local. It matters how you're treated in your workplace, in your schools, in your neighborhoods. And so we have asked the city council back in 2014 to make a resolution of support for improving the lives of women and girls and to work on areas of discrimination. We have focused very particularly on workplace inequities, which, as you know, salaries and other aspects of work are often inequitable. And in addition to workplace equity, we focus on personal and public safety, which is the general category for gender-based violence, which, as you know, is rampant locally as well as nationally. And thirdly, we're interested in civic participation, which means empowerment of women and girls to be part of a community, to have their voting rights upheld, and also to participate in local boards and commissions and other aspects of participation in communities. So in those three areas, we've been very successful in having city council members take an interest, local officials, many, many organizations take an interest in this work. It has taken this many years, however, to produce this report, which Alice will tell us about in more detail. I just want to preface it by saying that we are looking at city government as a place where, as a model, as a framework for this CEDAW Convention for the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. This provides an infrastructure and a means for monitoring how cities are doing and to give us, participants in this process, all of us, a part in making things better for women and girls in the areas where there are discrepancies both for women already in the workplace and young women who are aspiring to be in the workplace and safe in their communities.
Thank you for that. I know that recently I've seen reports that actually say that this generation is the first generation where things, instead of improving for women and girls, have actually taken steps backwards. And I think that this report and this new initiative at the City Council is particularly timely in light of that. And I'd just like to say, if anyone is interested in finding out more information about the cities for the elimination of discrimination against women, the URL for that is citiesforcedaw.org. So would you like to have Alice talk a little bit more now, or do you want to give some more information about the Women's Alliance that is working together to get this move forward?
Yes, I'll come back. I'll let Alice tell us a little bit more how it came to be, this report actually came to fruition, and then we'll talk. I'd love to talk a little bit about our coalition because it's quite diverse and broad.
Thank you.
Well, I will just start out. When Gail says we, Women's Equality Coalition, that means that the we are the American Association of University Women, a.k.a. Coalition of Labor Women United, Delta Sigma, Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus, League of Women Voters in both Johnson and County, and on the Missouri side, NAACP, Women's Council, United Nations Women's Council, and other groups, United We, which used to be the Women's Foundation. So the report to the city came about as a follow-up to the resolution that Gail referred to, which was passed unanimously in 2014. A resolution is an aspiration to accomplish goals that are to be laid out. So in the interim, we took two tasks the work of finding out how Kansas City measures up to the standards that are identified in the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, which we call CEDAW. All right, so CEDAW has a number of basic principles. We identified six that we measured, and we looked at it kind of like an auditor. We went in and examined how the city is doing, and, well, we'll start with number one, how women fare in elective and appointive office. So in the area of elective office, we are happy to say, and our report is full of good news and work to be done. So the good news is that we are fortunate in Kansas City to have half of the council are women and half men. That is the first time. That is wonderful. So that is what we call parity. So in the appointed office, that would be offices that have been appointed to be department heads in the city. Now, that's a moving scale because some people retire from being department heads to go on to other positions. So at the time it was measured, which is about 6 months ago, out of 18 departments, which the police department is not one of them because they're not under the auspices of the city, but there were 18 departments that were identified and 11 were women. So parity was achieved as well. We celebrate the good news always and look for opportunities to keep the women in equal participation. Okay, so number two, which, by the way, the report is asking for two things. So you'll know what our request is, and then when we get to the end, we can talk more about it. But we're asking for an ordinance to put into a statute the code, the expectations, and the capacity to monitor and account for and report regularly on how can the city government is doing. This is not a report on the whole city and all the women and children and girls in the whole city. It is a report on how the city is doing its business. And keep that in mind because what the city does and how we are a role model is good for everybody in the region. And we want to have high stature so that other businesses and governments can look forward to that. So,
I think that might be a good point to pause on that thought because we do have a station break coming up. So I think when we come back, we can examine what that means and what the next steps are. So everyone, do stay tuned for this important station break.
We will be right back after this. And welcome back to the Every Woman program. We are talking today with Gail James and Alice Kitchen from the Women's Equality Coalition. When we stopped for a break, Alice was going over some of the bits of the report that they have formed. So if we could continue.
Right. So number three principle benchmark is the recognition of women on boards and commissions in the city. There are about 100 boards and commissions. And the first thing that was breathtaking is that fewer than half of the boards and commissions are currently operational at full capacity. There's lots of vacancies. So our recommendation there is that all those openings and vacancies be appointed, and the Women's Commission has a project that they are working to expand that. Of course, we want women to be appointed. The fourth benchmark is in pay. And we worked hard to get a gender study contracted by the city, and that report will be given to the city council on February 18th. And that study will tell us about pay equity, which is very important because pay equity is not equality in pay. It is different. Equality means everybody is paid the same. So in the unions, men and women are paid the same. So this consultant report looked at all the job codes in the city and compared men and women in the same job code for education, experience, skills, and value. And that's where it should be equitable. So we'll find out about that. And then that report will give the city its working orders on how to adjust those variances. It's likely that there will be some, and it's true in most big HR departments. They have to go back and adjust, and we'll find out how much money it will take, but it possibly will have to be watched and kept current at all times. So that's pay equity. That's really a big driver in how we make sure women are paid. And just as an aside, in the larger workforce, women are paid 79 cents for the dollar. With men, same job, same education, experience, et cetera. Black women are paid 62 cents. Hispanic women, 54 cents. Asian women are 90% of the men's dollar. And Native American is only 57 cents to the men's dollar. So that's a big, important factor that we need to be a leading example. So gender dominance, and if you are able to get our report, you will see that there is a huge disparity, that there are significantly more men in the general workforce. So that is an area of work to be done. And in another category, how the city gathers information for how it analyzes its work and its progress. And we noted that there is a need for a methodology for capturing all the information on the larger spectrum of feminism, which would include LGBTQA and transgender women, and how we identify populations so they are noted and a part of our progress report. Also, under the Americans Disability Act, there is an audit that the city is under, and we could not find enough information to document how well that has been improved upon and if they've met the recommendations. But we do know there's missing information on how pregnancy-related conditions are evaluated. That needs to be done, and if it's not in the definition, it needs to be added. Also, it costs a lot of money to discriminate, and so we looked at the lawsuits of one law firm, and that their total of lawsuits in the last 4 years was $2.5 million cost to the city for, I think, 14 different lawsuits. So training for all personnel is important. There's been one big lawsuit of sexual harassment since that time, so that needs to be added. However, that's just 14 years on a particular category one law firm. The big total for the whole city citywide is $52 million. Some of those are small things like cracks in the sidewalk and people stumbling, but all together it costs way too much money. Moving along, the health department is a part that we looked at that has to do with women and family-friendly policies. On the employee side, there's strong pay leave policy. Thanks to the Women's Foundation, there is six weeks of paid leave for a person having paternity leave. They can actually take 6 weeks off, and they can, the father can take off the same amount of time. So there is a standard at the state where the auditor's department has 12 weeks for both persons if they both work for the auditor's department. But getting back to the city, they also have flexible spending accounts for dependent care. That could be child care or elderly parent. And that means that you contribute your pre-tax dollars to an account that makes it possible. Health department has many services for women who are citizens can come in and participate, women, all women, actually. And that includes family health education, injury prevention, nurse home visits, and the WIC program, Women and Children's Food Program. That is good, but they do also participate in citywide initiatives around the maternal and child health disparities in birth outcomes and so forth. Moving along, the city does not have control of the local police department. We want local control. The city has it on their list for the lobbyists in Deputy to look for. Because that is so important to our overall work, we strongly support local control, and we were not able to get a lot of data and data that was useful because we don't have local control. But the city is over the fire department, and the fire department, as you have read in the paper, most likely has a drastic problem. 88% of the workforce is male, and they are under a heavy requirement to implement a six-point plan. The women, if we are able to get, besides an ordinance, a women's commission, we will make sure that we monitor that, and they include gender as well as race in eliminating discrimination. So there are many other tools there. The city department has a planning department has will be required if we are successful in putting in code the environmental and safety protections that will make it better and safer for all citizens, but in particular women in areas that need to be better lighted, and that's called the crime prevention through environmental design, and that needs to be implemented wherever there are people, so that it's around housing and apartment buildings, but also in the metropolitan area. And lastly, and towards the end, the commission will be really important because we want quarterly reports. And in municipal court, we were unable to get the kind of numbers that are specific enough for us to get in and really examine how women are treated in that domestic violence court primarily. And we'd also like to see that domestic violence be examined more closely in terms of the law enforcement participation. Part of it's essential and really helpful for the safety, but sometimes it's more problematic because of the paramilitary background. So I'll stop at that. There is much more here, but these are the things that we are looking at. And as I said before, we have some good news and some bad news.
I'd like to jump in there and ask you about some specific points that come to mind when you're talking through all those. And one of the things that comes to mind is that your report was about the pay equity based on people's experience, years of service, educational qualifications. And there's the classic quote about the fact that a woman has to be twice as good as a man to be thought half as good. Some people said, luckily, this isn't difficult, as part of the quote. But frequently, when people are considering promotions, a woman will have the same, an equal amount of experience as a man, but the man is perceived as being more a leadership candidate and having more experience than a woman. Does the report take that into consideration, and is there any way of measuring things like that for future reports?
Well, I think, and Gail, add if you have additional thoughts, but the single report has to measure those equal components. And we made recommendations and read the RFP, but we haven't seen the report yet, so I can't really tell you what they found. But we're hoping that those things are given equal balance. And they'll have to go back and adjust those that when somebody started 20 and 30 years ago, they were paid very poorly. I forgot to mention that we as a coalition did get the city to pass at the city workforce level and the city-wide public and private sector the elimination of salary history in the hiring process. That eliminates discrimination at the get-go, because if you're low-paid or work for a nonprofit, or you've been out of the workforce for child care, you are always, you know, behind, and you can never catch up, and your retirement will be drastically reduced from your counterpart who is a male. We've had none of those factors.
That's a huge
To answer your question, or to at least bring that into a framework, I'll refer you to our beloved Justice Ginsburg, when asked, you know, how many women should be on a Supreme Court? And she said, well, nine. You know, what's wrong with having a full cohort of women on the Supreme Court? And when we think, and that was shocking at the time she said that, because people conceptually have such built-in bias that we're all shocked even to think of it when nine men really don't bother people, you know. So we're saying that when we begin to look, this is part of our effort to examine, and that's why the gender study is so crucial, because if we can just assume that there's an imbalance, but we have to do the study so that we can know what the data show. Then secondly, it deals with, in an oblique way, but a very real way, what those underlying prejudices are, to answer your question, Fiona, about the assumption that, with all due respect to qualities and qualifications, that men will get the nod for a promotion. What we're saying is that these new approaches will signal to a company, a board, a company, a city management, that this is not acceptable to not have at least an effort toward equity, and they would be accountable. And that's why, as Alice said, the commission that we're asking for, which will monitor and do a regular reporting, we would always know where there are inequities and how to redress them, and that there be, because the city is already paying out of pocket for this litigation of discrimination. So we will be actually saving them money to ask for a regular report, which may cost some amount of money to put together in a clerical manner. So we want a commission, we want to monitor, and we want to be sure that we're moving toward equity. We realize that equal 50-50 is not a realistic number equation, but what we want is to be always moving toward improvement, always evolving toward equity, so that people realize their city government, their neighborhoods are safer, their city government is more equitable, and that everyone has a fair access to participation and to be treated with human rights. So that's really how we address it, because you can't legislate prejudice. You know, we know that. But what we can do is educate the public and continue to move toward a fairer society.
Thank you.
And I think that point is that the measurements that we want are objective, they're measurable, you can quantify them and you can put them on a grid. It's not about personalities and ability to persuade or add a lot of extra information in the hiring process and so forth. So those numbers are really important. That's why we fight. We need some better methods, and we need to institutionalize them in our conceptual work.
Thank you for that. Another thing that came to mind is that we're focusing on the city level, and so things have to focus on things that the city can actually change. So you were focusing on appointed positions, but it's very important, the whole focus on CEDAW focuses on how important cities are for equality and equity. So is there anything that the city can do to encourage people to run for or get involved in local political processes, even though they can't appoint, obviously, there? Mm-hmm. But is there anything that they can do to encourage women's involvement in politics and getting into some of those positions?
Well, we think so. We think by signaling that more and more women are being considered, it is partially the job, the pool, the recruitment efforts, the job pool from which persons are selected. But in addition, as you may already know, many, many members of our coalition, and specifically the former Women's Foundation, now United We, the Women's Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus, do massive efforts to recruit women for boards, commissions, and to run for office. And they also Not only that, but they also offer campaign training and how to be a good candidate and how to run a campaign. And so there are lots of organizations, including the NAACP and their women's chapter, reach out and try to recruit women to run for office. We see it in schools also, where more girls are being encouraged to run for their class offices and school entities. It gives us a chance to say, you can't step back. We want you to step forward. And in fact, I will add this point, which is this year in 2021, the United Nations itself is having a major conference this spring, and a part of the theme will be participation, because that's what we call civic engagement, civic participation, and women's empowerment, to be encouraged to run, but to step forward and participate, whether as a legislator, a PTA member, whatever it takes to show engagement with our society. And so as more women are encouraged to do that. Now, some nations, a part of the CEDAW initiative, have produced a quota that they, Germany, for example, requires 30% of major government offices be held by women. Now, this country has not been willing to go to a quota system, but nevertheless, as we encourage more women, right now we have about, in the state of Kansas that I'm familiar with, about 23% of official office holders are women. 23% is not what we consider equitable, but it is moving in a path that we will say more and more organizations are recruiting and training and supporting, because that means you have to produce a checkbook also. We have to be willing to support women who run for office. And that's the other great point, is that don't forget that women typically might support their husband's alma mater more than they will a local woman candidate. And we're trying to change that equation to say we want women to support women as well.
Also on the city website, there is a place for boards and commissions. And I know I went on there and worked my way through and did end up serving on a commission. But I would say also check with the Women's Foundation now, United We. They are aggressively seeking and working with the city to get those empty spots filled with strong women and young women so that they can grow their career and advance the important project the commission is serving, as well as strengthen their experience and their resume.
Thank you.
Good question.
And I know you mentioned safety, and frequently comes up nationally that there are thousands and thousands of unprocessed rape kits just sitting on shelves with the evidence degrading, and that some rapists or multiple rapists who could have been caught four people earlier if the kits had been processed. Is that one of the things that you're pushing for, greater funding and focus on that? Does the city even have any input into that if they don't have local control over the police?
What I know is that the state of Missouri was backlogged by 6,000 of those cases. Now, I know MOX is working closely and pushing that, and so there is a timetable that's moving up on that. And yes, it is nationwide and is unacceptable. And the part that makes it so unacceptable, I think they were working first on those that were timely or something was preeminent. But nonetheless, they all matter. And the purpose of taking the kit and then, you know, taking the extra time of everyone is that it's used in prosecution. And so if it's not fulfilling its goal, it is an insult and a disgrace to everyone. And I think there is attention to it. Also, I think I would call attention to the fact that the BOCA money is at a threat of being reduced, and the funds to actually support domestic violence programs, which I didn't talk much about, but sexual assault and domestic violence are a big part of our effort, and the domestic violence programs work closely with the police around the lethality study. However, in the implementation of protection and response to domestic violence, sometimes law enforcement, with their paramilitary background, make things worse. So we're, you know, leaning heavily on the agencies to know what they know. And sometimes a women's commission can really be more strident in its request to make improvements for the agencies that depend on the city to get money and therefore cannot stretch out and push when they are risking their own funds. So the Women's Commission will serve a very important part of being advocates where the voices have been stifled.
And I would add, too, that we are very lucky here in Kansas City. We have a very active and very strong domestic violence network that works very actively, and including MOXA, which is, as you know, the Metropolitan Coalition for Sexual Assault Against Sexual Assault. And they work very closely with officials to improve, to save women's lives and also their well-being, because you think of how the onus of this in their lives. But since Kansas City does not have local control over the police department, it's much more difficult. But we're very fortunate in having very strong activists here. I will add that in several cities where CEDAW and these ordinances are in place, they have seen a vast, significant reduction in femicides, the murder of women, and domestic violence impact, because part of this will be improved training of first responders, improved work with the police departments and those responsible for services then to survivors of violence. So we believe very strongly that there's a track record and for putting this ordinance into place to look at the way violence plays out in our lives. Some cities, San Francisco, for example, which is a much more complex city, took this upon themselves to, as Alice had mentioned, neighborhood safety. They put more lighting in very violent neighborhoods, and it reduced the violence by a significant amount. So simple things like that, which appear to be simple and very cost-effective, are really ways in which we can make our community safer.
And I would add to that that feeling safe needs to be for everyone, men and women of color, LGBTQA and transgender. People need to be protected, and those populations are most at risk for harm. And in Kansas City, transgender homicides have been notable, unacceptable. I think we rank, I think there have been four, and we rank right at the top, I think, the cities across the country. So we are not a safe city, and we need to build in remedies to prevent that and also to make sure we know how to monitor it.
Yeah.
Yes, and I know recently the city enacted a commission for LGBTQ people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is working with the city's Human Rights Commission as well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what the role of the Women's Commission would be and how that would work together with the other commissions and what you see its purview as being?
Well, we work with the Kansas City Human Rights Commission all through our past 6 years. And so the addition of the new LGBTQ commission, we would work with them. They've reached out to us. And we have come with the workload to be accomplished, so we have a head start in that regard. We haven't been, we don't have an ordinance yet, and we don't have a commission, so they're way ahead of us in many regards, but we overlap in many ways, and I think the city already realized that they need stronger EEOC protections, which the Human Rights Commission does have that capacity. That is one of their strengths. But it needs to be amplified and strengthened. And I know the new city manager is paying attention to that.
So if the city passes the ordinance, how will the commission get stood up? What will its roles and responsibilities be? And how could people get involved if they are interested in being part of that commission?
I'll take a stab at that. We don't have the ordinance. We don't know what it will say, but we gave them a workload. The 6 points that we have spelled out, that would be the task that, in my mind, would be identified. So there could be 6 subcommittees. Some of them will have more work. Some of them will join other committees because the timing is they have to wait for things to happen or numbers to come in or programs to be developed. But nonetheless, that could be their workload. Who would it report to? We think it would report to the mayor and council, city manager. Typically, it's the city manager who's the hired hand. But it would also be laterally to the LGBTQ commission as well as the Human Rights Commission, who we have worked with all along. We see them as the party that takes the complaints and handles them for the existing ordinance that is out there, which is the one that has to do with Sally history. I did forget to mention that there is this activist in the city were able to get a mandate in ordinance that prevents the landlord from evicting a woman's family from a situation where domestic violence has occurred, and she is at risk, and so they cannot take away her or close her lease and force her out of housing. So that is there, and that was passed a couple of years ago. Now the state is looking at doing the same. It's really good to be an example for the state to take on, and we have good leaders at the state who are championing both of those areas.
Okay, we're going to take a brief station break, and then when we come back, I think we should talk about how could people get a copy of the report and how can they get in touch with you, or how can they encourage the city to take on these actions. So stay tuned. After the station break, we'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Every Woman program. We are talking with Dr. Gail James and Alice Kitchen from the Women's Equality Coalition here on Every Woman. Just before the break, we were talking about maybe ways to get in touch with you or ways in which, once this report is released, how that we could read said report.
We are with the Women's Equality Coalition. We have a Facebook page, a Women's Equality, capital W, capital E, Women's Equality, GKC. The report will, as soon as it's presented, it has been presented to some members. It won't be public, I think, until it's fully presented to the City Council, but we're working on that. And basically, they can get in touch with us through our Women's Equality GKC, our Facebook page, and also every August, we will have events surrounding the women's vote, so take a look between now and then. We will really want you to share in why we want to support women voting and to get acquainted with why the suppression of women's vote is very crucial to us as well.
And I would add that I've been remiss to forget our report is the work of 4 people, Gail, Patty Deckowitz of AAUW, and Carol Colt of AAUW, and myself. These are the ones that these women have put the time and energy into doing the report and digging up the numbers, getting the information. So we have it, and it is public information. We will be there when the Siegel consultant gives the report to the city, and if we're fortunate, we want to present it through an official committee before that time, because we think that it precedes the information. It makes the case why it's important, although we don't know the findings yet. We have asked, and we're the ones that actually spawned it. And I would just like to add one thing that I think is overarching and a part of this international, and we've gone from international to city. And cities are the social engines where things really happen. But we, women, we're not in the Constitution. the Equal Rights Amendment, contrary to what half of the population believes, were not in the Constitution. The amendment had not passed. Missouri has not ratified. Kansas has. But that's important, and it is evolving, and it will come before this House and Senate this year to eliminate the deadline, because we already have 38 states. So it's within our time frame. So pay attention to that.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is also an underlying and very critical element of equity and the search for equal rights for everyone. But I want to thank Fiona. You asked wonderful questions. And thanks to you and to Una and Rachel for having us today. We appreciate it very much. Every woman has always been on our horizon, and we support you and appreciate your inviting. Please invite us back when we have more progress to report.
Firstly, delighted to have you on anytime. And just quickly, if people think that women's rights and these issues are important, what is the best way for them to put pressure on their elected officials, and in this case specifically, on the city of Kansas City, Missouri?
I'll let Alice weigh in her views. My view is to stay in touch with your elected officials. People are reluctant to do that. They think they're bothering them or they won't be paid attention to. But actually, city officials, all elected officials, pay very great attention to emails, texts, and, of course, most importantly, personal letters, although that has fallen in favor lately. But an email to your elected official, their addresses are always on the website of the city or any entity. They're easily found. The Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus always will put you in touch with your who is your local representative, and please stay in touch with them.
And just so you know, the mayor has been supportive when we have been on panels and we have brought this up. He was supportive when we asked for the gender study, and that was one council back. So I would just say there's lots of ways to get involved in whatever city you live in. So we're just one city in this huge metropolitan area. So take what Gail said seriously. Call your elected officials. Pay attention to your city. You need to move in the same fashion that we're moving in Kansas City.
Thank you so much. And just quickly, give people your Facebook address again so they can reach out.
Women's Equality GKC.
Thank you very much. And thank you so much, Dr. Gail James and Alice Kitchen, for being with us today. You have been wonderful educational guests, and we always appreciate being able to work with the Women's Coalition and all of the women's groups in this area. Everyone, do please stay tuned, because coming up next we have Urban Connections with Donna Wolf, and after that we have On Boston Unbothered with DeRashawn Gilmore. And I would like to thank Una for being present, and even though I hugged the microphone, and Rachel for being our sound engineer.
Thank you.
And tune in for
next week. Thank you.
And thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.